Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Deacon Peter Burkamp. You guys can call me Deacon Peter or Deacon Burkamp, whichever you would like. I'll answer to both. But I'm the deacon here for this semester in my vocational synthesis stage, which essentially means that this is my last part of my formation leading up to ordination to the priesthood in May. And so it's all up to Father Curtis to do the final touches on me before being ordained, which is a little scary. But luckily, Sam Wise will make sure that we're all on the right path, I think. But I am really grateful to be here in Schulte this semester. I grew up in Garden Plain, so not too far away from here. And I grew up on a farm. And my parents are Ned and Teresa Burkamp. And my mom actually was a parishioner here growing up. And so my grandparents on my mom's side were part of this parish community. So it's kind of neat to be a part of this parish and to come back to this. My parents actually met, in a way, through this parish. My mom used to play the organ in the old church, and my aunt, who is a little pushy, I guess, set her up with my dad. And my grandpa forced my dad to go on the blind date with her. And so I'm indebted to this parish, I guess, for my own existence. So I hope to pay it forward this semester. Another reason why I'm grateful to be here is St. Peter is my patron saint, St. Peter the Apostle. And so it's neat to be assigned at this parish, the only parish that's named St. Peter the Apostle in our diocese, leading up to my ordination. So it seems providential that I'm at this parish. I started on this Thursday. So Thursday was my first day. And you'll see me throughout the semester helping at the school, helping with youth group and preaching, and then all points in between. Before I arrived here, though, I was in Greece and Turkey, two countries that I never thought I would visit at all. But I was there with my deacon class from the seminary on a Pauline pilgrimage. So we were following the footsteps of St. Paul in Greece and then in Turkey. And that's mostly where he spent his missionary journeys. So I went to Corinth. This is where the second reading comes from. I went to Corinth, where he founded that community and then later wrote two letters to. And then we went to Philippi and Athens. The highlight was Ephesus, though. We were in Ephesus, where he wrote the letter to the Ephesians, but also where the beloved disciple John lived with Mary. And so they actually have a church built upon the foundations of Mary's house in Ephesus. And it was one of the most prayerful places that I have ever prayed at. So it was a blessed pilgrimage. Something that I was praying with during the pilgrimage, but even afterward, was just the person of Paul. I was praying with who Paul was as a person. Because he is a really impressive guy. He was highly motivated. He traveled almost 10,000 miles in his missionary journeys, all on foot or on boat. And so he was extremely motivated, and he was pretty successful. He had some failures in different journeys, but overall, he had a lot of success in founding communities all over the Greco-Roman world. And so we owe a lot to this apostle, to St. Paul. But I was wondering, and I've been praying with, what was behind all of that? What made this awesome person, Paul, so effective and saintly? And obviously the answer is pretty simple, but the answer is our Lord. It's Jesus. But I was really praying with, what was his relationship with our Lord like? Because if that's what motivated him, well, it'd be good to learn more about how he had a relationship with our Lord. And so Paul first met our Lord on the road to Damascus. He had an encounter with the person of Jesus. But what made him so adamant on following him was when he realized that this person, Jesus, is Almighty God. He was a faithful Jew. And so once he realized that this person, Jesus, was the Messiah, but also Almighty God, the creator of the universe, well, then everything changed for Paul. He laid everything down at the feet of Jesus, including his own life. So that was behind all of Paul's journeys. And so Christ being God, that was behind everything. And today in the gospel, we are reminded of that simple reality, that simple but very profound reality, that Jesus Christ, the person, the second person of the Trinity, is God. And that should affect us in our own lives, in our day-to-day lives as well. Because just like St. Paul, we are challenged to lay down everything at the feet of our Lord. This claim to be God comes from today's gospel in the line of John the Baptist when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Only God can forgive sins. And so this claim that this person is taking away the sin of the world, well, that's a divine claim. That's John the Baptist saying, this man is God. And Jesus in the Gospels will oftentimes say, your sins are forgiven. So that's a claim of his divinity. And C.S. Lewis, in his book called Mere Christianity, it's a book that lays out the basic beliefs of the Christian faith. He actually talks about this line of Jesus forgiving sins when he lays out his famous trilemma. C.S. Lewis says that when we encounter Jesus in the Gospels, we can have three options to respond to him. We can either encounter Jesus in the Gospels and say that this man is crazy, that everything he says is just kind of coming from a person who is crazy and a lunatic. So that's one option that we can respond to with the Gospels. We can call Jesus a lunatic. Another option is to call him a liar, that he doesn't actually have anything that he says he has, and he's just lying about it. So the other option is to call Jesus a liar. And then the third option, if he's not a liar and if he's not a lunatic, well then the other option is to actually call him Lord and to believe what he says he is. Now, obviously, I want you all to believe the third option. That's the correct answer. But C.S. Lewis lays it out really clearly. He says he's not a liar because his whole ethical system and his teachings preach about doing the good and avoiding evil. And so lying would contradict that. And so Jesus isn't a liar. And he's not a lunatic because everything he speaks of is from a great source of wisdom. Even the Pharisees will recognize that. And so we can confidently say Jesus is not a lunatic. And so C.S. Lewis very clearly says, well, then we must call him Lord and lay everything down at his feet. And indeed, that's what St. Paul did. At first, he knew Jesus to be a liar or a lunatic, but once he encountered him as God, he laid everything down at the feet of Jesus. And so this should challenge us as well. You and I can be challenged with the fact that Jesus is God. That means that we should seek him daily, turn to him daily in prayer, just because of the mere fact that he is Almighty God, the creator of the universe. And we're also called to lay down our entire lives at the feet of Jesus. And this doesn't have to be anything spectacular or fancy. Laying everything down at the feet of Jesus can just entail offering each day to him. And then when we come to church on Sunday, offering our entire week through the sacrifice of the Mass. So it doesn't have to be fancy, but just offering everything over to the Lord in a simple prayer each morning. I think that's a good place to start. And the fact that Jesus is God should also bring some comfort as well. Because if Jesus is God who is so close to us through the sacraments and especially through the Eucharist, well, then that means that God is present in all parts of our lives, in the ups and downs, the sufferings, and the joys. He is close to us. It should also comfort us whenever we experience some sort of desolation or discouragement in prayer. Because I think it's helpful to be reminded when we're struggling in prayer of the simple fact that the person we're praying to is God. And that can even motivate us to come back with greater fervor. It's pretty simple, but I think it's helpful. And that's why I think it's fitting that within every Mass, just before we receive the Holy Eucharist, when Christ becomes as close as he can be to us, the priest says, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sin of the world. Because nothing is more challenging and comforting as that reality.